Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We're going to pray for something right now. I am so expectant for what God's going to do today. I don't know if you can sense it, but this morning, getting up and praying into, continuing to pray into today, and just even walking into this room and auditorium, just tangibly felt and sensed that there's something different today. And there's moments in our walk with God where God just needs to actually elevate our faith, and there needs to be an impartation of greater faith and a Holy Spirit encounter. In John 11, there's a point where there's a man who was a close friend of Jesus by the name of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. And there's a point where Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick. And it says that because he loved him, he stayed where he was a couple more days. Doesn't logically make sense. Story goes on where Lazarus actually ends up passing away due to this sickness. He's in the grave for multiple days, and then yet Jesus comes to the town of where he was at, a point where it looked like everything was lost and everything was dead. But then in a single moment of prayer, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lazarus was resurrected from the grave. And Jesus said he allowed the situation to happen in his love for them, because they needed a greater revelation of what was powerful, what was able in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, what was possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe today that this word for us is going to shift something, and there's going to be a fresh impartation upon each one of us to be believing and trusting as we continue in our Kingdom Culture series that miracles are normal. But I felt during worship today, before even beginning, that we need to pray for a couple of people, because I just saw heavy thoughts and anxious thoughts and cloudy thoughts upon people's mind. And I just believe what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray that your mind would be set free, because I'm truly believing that this word from God today is going to not just bring a fresh word and revelation of who he is, but it's going to bring a life-transforming moment for you. And I just see the Holy Spirit's just saying, can we just actually set some people free right now before the word's received, so that the cloudiness is taken away, the weight is lifted off. And so right now, would you just lift up your hands? I'm praying for every single person here today, but as I said, I'm firmly believing right now that if you've been having anxious thoughts, if you've been plagued by worry and concern that's bringing anxiety, and literally there are physical symptoms that you're having in your body due to the anxiety of your mind or your thought, depressing thoughts, dear God, I'm praying right now that in the name of Jesus Christ, that these heavy thoughts would be cast off right now. Lord God, I break the bondage of depressive thoughts. So God, I break the bondage of anxiety right now over each person. Lord God, I declare that by your love and in the power of your name, Jesus Christ, that these thoughts and these oppressive spirits and this affliction must be broken right now. God, I declare that as your word says, we are anointed to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. Lord God, to declare the captives would be set free. Lord God, that those that are in the prison of darkness, God, I'm declaring right now that there's a cloudiness, a darkness of thoughts, heavy thoughts and anxiety, that it must flee right now. In your word, it says in Philippians, Lord God, to come to you with prayer and thanksgiving, and the mind, our mind would be guarded as your peace, which goes past comprehension, rests upon and guards our mind and our heart. And so Jesus Christ, right now, I declare over every person here that's been experiencing anxiety, overwhelming stress, and even depression, I speak to the spirit of death right now. I say, be broken, because the spirit of life is here. The spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is here. God, I declare freedom right now in Jesus' name. Just receive it, receive it, receive it right now. Freedom. Those thoughts are not who you are. That situation does not define who your God is. That circumstance does not determine what God has for you. I speak freedom right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your freedom. God, we praise you for it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can grab your seat. And I'm just truly believing for every person here that was experiencing or having those thoughts that even right now there'd be a weight lifted off of you. And more as the word is spoken today, that it would be planted in your heart, fully ready and able to be received, you knowing more and more of who God's called you to be. Is that all right? Can you sense it? God's doing something so fresh today. And I'm just so excited as we continue in our Kingdom Culture series. As I said already, the last fifth week today, we've been looking at what is it a Kingdom Culture look like in a local church? Really, what is the reality of the Kingdom of God look like here on earth? And today we're continuing in that with our value of how miracles are normal. In the Kingdom of God, miracles are normal. But before we continue on, I just personally want to thank, on behalf of Hannah and I and our senior pastors, Pastor Corey and Simone, I want to thank every person that's already prayerfully partnered into the vision offering this year. And just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet had the opportunity, go ahead and grab that vision offering card on your seat. Take that home, be praying into that, and just seeking God on how together we can partner into the vision that God's given us. And so that vision offering card will be on your seat. Take that home, but be praying into that, not led compulsion, but out of a cheerful heart, knowing God's your provider and He'll lead you and being able to partner into the vision with that, which would be awesome. Right now, we're going to check out our video intro for today on our Kingdom Culture value.
The culture around us has a hunger for the supernatural, but often looks for it in all the wrong places. Unfortunately, throughout history, the church has often misrepresented the reality of God's power to the surrounding culture. We have been created in the image and likeness of a supernatural God, and yet when we don't exercise the power of God resident inside of us, we present to the world an inferior view of who God is. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." The crucial question we must continually ask ourselves, is the supernatural a part of my daily experience?
And really, this question we're going to be going into tonight, because I'm trusting that as we hear the Word of God today, as we engage with the Word of God today, that we would have the revelation that the supernatural, as a part of our everyday experience, is what every single one of us has been called to. Go ahead and open up your Bible to Acts 3. You guys doing all right today? You're not going to make me do one of those from last week, are you? Acts 3. Go ahead and open it up. This is going to be our main text, chief text today, as we really are looking how we've been called into a supernatural life. Some of the verses are going to come up on the screen today, but I encourage you, bring your Bible. Beginning verse 1 of Acts 3, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. And he was laid there to ask alms," which are basically charity handouts, "of those entering the temple. And this man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms," that charity. "And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them, a charity, alms, a handout. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And this man, who's now been healed, began leaping up. He stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they in that moment recognized him as the one who sat at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, asking for alms. And when they saw him, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened." Friends, in our faith, Christianity, miracles really is God going public. It's an expression of the kingdom of God becoming a reality. It really is God going public. See, we've been called to go out and make disciples. As we heard last week, making disciples isn't an option. It's not the great option. It's the great commission. And it's not just a handful of people. It's every single person who's chosen to say yes to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we see that all throughout the New Testament, Jesus models and then he commissions and he empowers us as believers to be able to go out and make disciples so that people would be able to see that God is real. And he's not just a person in the flesh, but he came in the flesh fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, we see that after Jesus commissions the disciples, he tells them in verse 6, they all came together, the disciples, and they asked Jesus at this time when he said, he was teaching them about things to come, and they asked him, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They wanted some knowledge. They wanted some insight as to things that were going to be coming up, probably so that they could be sharing with other people, hey, the Messiah is going to be restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time. But Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Don't worry about some of the things you're not quite sure of yet. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will then be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The disciples were asking Jesus for a little bit more information. And he says, don't worry about the information right now. Be concerned about whether you've got the supernatural power of God in you or not. He says you'll be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. He tells them, don't even bother trying to go out and tell other people about me until there's a supernatural baptism upon you to be able to bear witness. And it's not just in Acts that we see that. See, in Mark 16, in verse 17, Jesus is saying, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Even in Matthew 10, it says that Jesus, as he tells the disciples to go out proclaiming the gospel, he says, and as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You and I have to come under the revelation that making disciples isn't about passing on head knowledge. It's about witnessing of a supernatural kingdom. It's not just about sharing words out of our mouth, but that a person would encounter the living word of God in their life. See, if we're going to be able to truly make disciples, we have to grow in our awareness that the supernatural work of God needs to increasingly be more and more normal for us. The kingdom of God, miracles are normal. Jesus modeled it as he walked on earth. He showed the disciples more and more of what it looks like to live as a disciple in the kingdom of God. And not just as living as a disciple in the kingdom of God, but what is required to be able to make disciples of the kingdom of God. And he tells them, as he tells you and I today, in order to truly be able to be a disciple and to bear witness of the kingdom, you need to encounter the supernatural power of God in your everyday life. Now, I know most of you here today, apart from those that might be here for the first time, and I want to ask you a question for you to answer, not out loud, but just internally in your heart or your mind. And the question is, why are you here? Like, why are you physically here today? How did you come to walk into these doors? How did you come to call this church home? Maybe you're here today because a point in your life you were looking for community, and you came in, and it was a warm, friendly, inviting community, and that's why you stayed. That's Awesome. That's really good. Maybe you came to be a part of this church because you were searching through life for purpose and you're seeking on what is the meaning of life, what is the purpose of my life. And you came to be a part of this church discovering more of what it looks like to live a life of purpose. Or maybe you're still on that journey, but you just get a sense that there's something that's going to be revealed to you as you are part of this church. Or maybe you're here today because all that you've ever known really growing up has been going to church on a Sunday. Or maybe you come from a traditional background in church, and so church was just what you did on a Sunday, and that's why you're here today. I want every one of us to hear personally that no matter how you came to be here today, and no matter why you are here, you are welcome. You will always be welcome here. You are welcome. No matter where you're at in your walk with God, you are welcome here. No matter what you did last night or this morning, you are welcome here. We welcome every person from any stage, age, and background that is here. You need to hear from me today that you are welcome here. And yet you also need to hear from me today that until you are living where the supernatural work of God in your life is increasingly becoming more and more normal, you're not yet living how Christ has called you to live. You're completely welcome to be here. All of us are growing in our walk with God. That's okay, and that's good, and that's right. But I need you to hear today from the Father's heart that until miracles are becoming more and more normal in your life, you're not yet living in the fullness of what God has for you. Can I hear an amen? Now, when we first actually come into Christianity as faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, maybe miracles at first aren't yet that normal for us. And that's okay, because sometimes when we come into a new environment, there's things that weren't normal in our previous culture. And we grow on a journey of becoming more normal in what is right and what is kingdom. See, when I came to Australia, wasn't that normal to put some savory charcoal on toast, a.k.a. Vegemite? And I was at camp one day, and this camp that I went to before saying yes to Jesus, and this really loving person just says to me, "Don, hey, have you ever had Vegemite?" I said, "No, that's disgusting. I don't want Vegemite." And they said, "It's pretty much like peanut butter." And I'm like, "Ooh, that sounds good." Because most often in the morning, I'm just going to be open with you today. Is that okay? You have a little bit of insight into my diet previously. Is most mornings I would get toast and I would toast it, and then it would pop up and I'd put some butter on it, and then I would put some sugar on it, and then I'd sprinkle some cinnamon on it. And that was what I thought was good to have in the morning. And so this person's like, "It tastes a little bit like peanut butter." And I was like, "Great, I'm going to have some of that." And so they just slobbed it on, thick Vegemite. And I took a bite of that and I about spewed. Almost vomited. It was disgusting. Now, I've learned that's not the right way to put Vegemite on your toast. But the point of the story is this, that over time, Hannah began sneaking it on toast, and she put some avocado on there as well. So I didn't even know it was there. But over time, more and more, as I was exposed to the right way of having Vegemite, it's now what I put on my toast in the mornings. Because I come to see that it's better to have something that's got some vitamin B in it than a lot of sugar in it in the morning. Why am I telling you this? Well, in our Christian walk, sometimes when we step into the kingdom of God through a decision, we actually have to continue walking out in the kingdom of God by the reality of what the Word of God says, because it's living and it's active. And you know that it is the foundation in how we live. And the reality of living by the Word of God and in the kingdom of God is that miracles would be increasingly more and more normal. And so we need to be exposed more and more to the normality of the supernatural power of God. And maybe somewhere in some point somebody did something like that Vegemite on that toast, and you're like, "I'm not really quite sure about the Vegemite of heaven, the supernatural power of God. I'm not quite sure because of an experience." But I'm trusting today that you catch the Father's heart of miracles, that you'd be open to allowing Him to show you truly why miracles are meant to be normal in the kingdom of God, and how really this is a part of what every Christian is called to live and experience more and more. Jesus has called you to live in relationship with Him. but he commissions and empowers you to be a witness for him. Salvation is the greatest miracle ever. Undeserving of grace and mercy, receiving salvation in Jesus Christ and becoming a new person. But the power of God isn't to just change our eternal destination. It's also for us to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. See, miracles are God going public, and it's really how us as Christians are called to be witnesses of the kingdom of God. Now, that in itself has a lot packed into it, because if we're witnesses of the kingdom of God, which is a supernatural kingdom, Jesus said by his words and actions, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and be baptized because the kingdom of God has been near. And then what happened when he was proclaiming that? People were healed. The sick were healed. Those that had affliction upon their life were set free. There wasn't just a sharing of the word, but there was a demonstration of that kingdom. And so we need to be witnesses of a supernatural kingdom and a supernatural God, and we can only do that by the supernatural power of God. Are you getting that today? We cannot truly be witnesses of the gospel unless the supernatural is a part of our everyday life. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will then be my witnesses in Cheltenham, in Bayside, Dingley Village, and beyond. That was my paraphrase. If you don't have your Bible, you can read that later. The kingdom of God, miracles are meant to be normal. And so the issue that happens when we as Christians and a church are not representing a supernatural God to the world is we're representing an inaccurate picture of who God is. A powerless church presents to the world an inaccurate picture of who God is. Back to our text in Acts 3, it says, a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that's called Beautiful, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive those alms. But Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. The man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive some kind of charity from them. A little bit later on, we see that this man was not lame from birth for just a couple of days and a couple of years, but for over 40 years, this man had been on earth, lame. 40 years of being on earth and lame. And we see in this scripture, the reality of his experience came to be that it says daily they laid him at the gate. And so his experience came to be the only way that he was able to be able to get by was to receive handouts and charity from other people. And so his experience came to be after 40 years on earth was to simply be laid at a gate where people were going to be coming and going past him in. But not just any old gate. He came and was placed before a gate of people that were meant to be the nation of Israel, the people of God. And his expectation came that I am going to be placed here, and there's going to be people that I know are going past me to pray to worship of, and hear the word at the time of the great I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that these people were going to be coming in as the defined and supposedly declared people of God, but his expectation was simply to not expect anything else from them but a few handouts. He was laid outside this gate where the people who are meant to be the representation of the great I am, his expectation came to be simply dulled down to a handout asking for charity. And what's sad is that in our society today, generally speaking, the culture around about us is not really looking to the church anymore for answers. The church that once cried out, look at us, or when people began to try and find an answer for the questions that they're asking, Ecclesiastes says that God's placed eternity in the heart of every human. And so we have a seeking and desiring to know of who God is. And the sad thing of our world today is the culture around about us, generally speaking, is no longer looking to the church to actually have an encounter with God. There's skepticism, unbelief, doubt, bad experiences that people have come to the point where our world has been simply receiving an inaccurate picture of who God is. Because I'm telling you today that if the world and the people around us knew that our God heals body, mind, heart, and soul, there'd be more people coming to church. There'd be more people coming up to you and to me if people knew that our God is a supernatural God, that He is the answer to all things. Holistically, He brings healing, not just of the body, but of the mind, of the heart. There's healing that comes by the Spirit of God. And friends, it is sad to think that the society today that we have has come to begin to actually see what Paul says to Timothy. There's this son in the faith, and Paul's saying to Timothy, Timothy, watch out, because there's coming days and times where there's going to be people that actually are saying the right things and they have the appearance of godliness, but they're denying its power. He says, avoid such people because they're always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. We need to be careful that as a church, we're not always just learning and hearing a podcast or a sermon, or even in our devotion in the morning, actually having a greater revelation of what the Word of God says, but never actually coming to the truth. And I just have it almost as a commission today for you and I, for us to catch a revelation that God wants you to know that He has called you to live in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit every single day of your life, to live by the power of God, and to increasingly come to see miracles becoming normal in your life. Why is that? So we can have a good time and tingly sensations? No. Because it's God's way of going public. For people to see that we're not just reading words out of a book, but the Word has become a reality in our heart and in our life. See, I'm here to tell you today that you are the answer for what God wants to do in this world. Friend, you don't need to be quote-unquote called a pastor. You don't need to go to study theological studies. Is that good? Great. Yep. Awesome. Get to know God more. But maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, and simply for you, the power of God is being able to disciple your children, or to share with your neighbor when they get sick how they were healed when you prayed for them. Friends, you need to know today that God wants to go public. Are you willing to be His voice? His hands, His feet, His voice. I have a firm conviction that we need to be the ones that change the tide of what's expected from the church. See, I didn't have an encounter with God because someone said some really cool words to me. I saw a person's body healed. Like literally, fractured bone was healed. A stunted leg was grown before my eyes. And then when I had a moment to say yes to Jesus Christ, depression, addiction, and isolation upon my life was broken. The foundation of me stepping into the kingdom of God was a supernatural event. But it's not to just be a supernatural event. It's meant to become a supernatural life. Recently, I was driving down Nepean Highway, and at the intersection of Nepean Highway, actually, I'm not going to tell you where I was because of the story. Anyways, I was driving down Nepean Highway, and I came to an intersection, and I saw this man begin to walk across the intersection, and it was quite obvious that there was something wrong in his body. He looked like he was probably in his late 50s, if not 60s, and there was this walk that he had. You know how you can see some people, and you're like, that's not just an injured ankle or knee, but there's been something that's begun to compound over his life, if not him being born that way. And I just saw him, and I'm challenged, and I've made the commitment that whenever I see somebody or hear someone that needs healing, I'm going to pray for them. because I just want to take every opportunity I can to see people encounter who God is, who I came to see God is, and I want them to see who God is as well. And so I said, okay, right, God, if he turns and keeps walking where I'm driving right now, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go ask to pray for him. And so lo and behold, the light turns green for me to go, and he kept walking the same path where I was going. And I was like, awesome. So I did a U-ey, I parked, I waited for traffic to go, and then I ran across the road, and I said, excuse me, sir. And he kind of like looked at me like this because he couldn't fully move. And he just said, yes. And I said, hey, my name's Don. I'm a Christian. I've seen the power of God work in my life. I've been healed in my body, and I've seen other people that have as well. And I'm just wondering today, can I pray for you? And I thought, this is going to be amazing. And he goes, no, no prayer, no prayer. He's like, you Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He goes, you go to that church? And I said, no, I don't go to that church. I go to a local church. Anyways, though, can I pray for you? He's like, no, 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 no prayer, no prayer. And he just kept on walking. I stood there, and I got in my car, and there's so much sorrow in my heart. Because I thought, you know what? This man's had an experience similar to that man for 40 years, laid outside of a gate where people profess that they worship the great I am. And yet there's something in his life that he's come to the expectation, the cynicism, the doubt, where he doesn't even want someone to pray for him. And I thought, God, let that never happen in our church. Let it never happen each day going forward, where someone in our world begins to encounter a man's religion and not the power of God. See, somewhere, I believe, by the way that he was pointing and talking about a particular place, that somewhere he had an experience where somebody was more probably moved by a tradition and a religion rather than the Spirit of God. Friends, that's not what we're called to. We're called to represent the heart of God, because I know that God's heart is for you and I to see the miraculous in our life, yes, so that we can come into a greater revelation of who he is, but also so that other people would come to see that God is more than just a book written on this page, but actually he's meant to be written in the hearts and experienced by every single son, daughter, and believer that calls him Lord. See, I think we've completely missed the fullness of the gospel if we think that salvation is simply then having a more comfortable, safer life, singing some songs, reading some books, and doing some good things every once in a while. All that's great. But if that is what we've brought our salvation and the declaring of the gospel to, we've entirely missed it. We've entirely missed it. But I've got some encouraging news for you today. You have been called, saved, commissioned, and anointed by God to live a supernatural life. Every single one of you here today. This week, as I was just kind of allowing God to download this from my heart onto paper, I sat there, and it's what Hannah and I love to do whenever we have the opportunity to preach the word of God, is to begin visualizing the people in our church. And I began looking. I'm a visual person, so it helps. I began looking and I began seeing faces. And I began just seeing a light bulb moment for each one of us, each one of you, to realize that it's not just in the prayers of me or Hannah or a healing evangelist that God can heal people and that the supernatural can happen, but that you would have a revelation. And ultimately, this is the bottom line of the message today, that God has called you to pray and see people healed, to take a moment when you find out about a person and how their life is going and something not so good is happening, to just simply take a moment and say, can I pray for you? And maybe in that moment, the supernatural that comes is peace upon them, joy despite their circumstance. Friends, you need to hear today. This message will transform your life. One of the greatest joys that I get is seeing people catch a revelation of who God has called them to be and then exercising that in their life. You know, Zephaniah is at the point right now where he's 2.5 years old and we can have full conversations with him. The only time we don't know what he's saying is because we haven't heard him properly. And this week, it's been a battle getting here today because sickness has seemed to try and bring a doubt to me in the fact that miracles are normal. But whenever something comes up like this and we're needing a miracle of God, not just in our life for other people, we actually say, Zephaniah, will you pray for? Mommy's not feeling well. Put your hand on her and let's pray for. And one of the biggest joys I get is just seeing Zephaniah simply just pray a prayer of, Dear Jesus, thank you for Mama healing. Amen. I'm like, yes. And there's a night this week where I was feeling so sick in my body. Like literally, my stomach was aching. My head was just throbbing. And I had a bowl next to the bed. And I felt like I was going to vomit. I actually did. And then I came into the room and I just felt like I was going to vomit. And the thing was, is I was so tired, but I could not sleep. And we had been praying that day because I was sick, not feeling good. Hannah wasn't feeling 100% either. But in a moment, she's just like, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And she just put her hand on my shoulder and just simply prayed a prayer, something along the lines of, I was too sick to remember. Dear God, thank you for your love for Dawn. Thank you that your power is real. And I just pray right now, I release healing upon my husband. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Within seconds, literally, I felt completely different. The throbbing in my head stopped. Sickness in my stomach was gone. And I no longer felt I was going to vomit. And I turned to Hannah. Yeah, we can praise God if we can praise God. And I turned to Hannah, and I was like basically about to scream. So I wasn't going to wake up the boys, and I said, I feel different. I feel so different. Like that is the most tangible difference in my life besides healing in my bones and in my body and those things in my life broken off that I experience the supernatural power of God. Friends, it's quite simple but completely powerful. When the everyday moments of our life are attached to the supernatural power of God working in and through us. God's called you to life where miracles are becoming more and more normal. And the way that we're going to live this out in a supernatural life, a couple of different things. But the first is that we need to become committed to knowing God more and more. See, Peter says to the man, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took the man by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately this man's feet and ankles were made strong. See, Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was, and he was open and willing to authentically represent who Jesus is. He had a revelation and then applied that revelation into an everyday moment. See, Peter was a witness because of his own revelation. It was an everyday moment. He was walking to a prayer meeting, which is quite everyday for a Jew and a Hebrew at that time. Christian, Peter was a Christian, but Hebrew at that time, to walk to the hour of prayer. He had a revelation of who Jesus was, and then he actually lived, prayed, and ministered out of that revelation. And I just want you to know today, you need to know today that you cannot live by someone else's revelation. You might be encouraged by it. Even the story this week of healing from me and other people, I could tell you story after story. You might be encouraged by it. You might be challenged by it, but you cannot live from it. It can spur you on to go and actually seek God more and more. But if you're going to live a life where the supernatural is becoming more and more part of your everyday, you need to have a revelation of the power of Jesus Christ and the significance of declaring his name. see all throughout the New Testament, we see how Peter is getting to know God more and more. Jesus calls him to follow after him. And for time's sake, I'm not going to go through it, but in Matthew 4, Matthew 14, Matthew 10, Matthew 16, we see that more and more Peter grows in his awareness and revelation of who God is. In Matthew 16, Jesus asks the disciples, who do other people say that I am? And they give them responses, but then Jesus says, yeah, but who do you say I am? That's what you've heard from other people, but what is your revelation? And Peter says, you are, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the one who God has sent. And Jesus says to him, oh, Peter, blessed are you, because that was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. It wasn't revealed to you by a preacher. It wasn't revealed to you by a teacher. It was revealed to you, the scripture says, by Father in heaven. He says, and I tell you that on that revelation, Peter, you are a rock, and upon that revelation, upon that, I will build my church. God wants to build his church upon your life. You've been called to get to know him more and more. And so my question for us today is, how are we getting to know God more and more? It comes by being in the presence of God. It comes by being committed to a daily devotion. And so the question then from there is, what does your daily devotion look like? Where is it? What time of day is it? How are you beginning to engage in a daily devotion? Because the different aspects and even like the different rotation of a devotion might actually change, but there are simply three things that are so foundational and key in our devotion with God. And number one is by the Word of God. Devotion doesn't come by listening to a podcast. It comes by listening to the voice of God. And so you need to be reading the Word of God. You need to be journaling and meditating upon the Word of God, and you need to be applying it. And so the Word of God, but then prayer, conversation with God, communication with God, hearing from Him, actually declaring things that you need, that you're believing for, prayer, and then worship. Three key things of how you and I are able to get to know God more and more. Is that all right? Is that okay? It's a beautiful thing, because when you and I get to know God more and more, we then have a greater revelation of who He is and what he's able to do. And we need that, because when we have a greater revelation of who He is and what He's able to do, we then need to live upon that. Not just getting to know God more and more so that we can have a good revelation of who He is, but then living by that revelation. A number of years ago, there's a man in our church who was wanting to be water baptized. And so me and a couple of the people went to just meet with him, talk and walk him through that, and pray him through some simple and powerful prayers, giving his life to Jesus and the decision he was making. And so then we water baptized him. And the moment that we baptized him under the water and he came back up, literally in that moment, demonic spirits that were upon his life began to manifest. And it was pretty full on. Just going to say that. His face completely contorted, looked different. His eyes changed totally. And we just simply began to pray, because we know that no matter what comes up against us, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I just knew that in that moment, as it says in Philippians, God has given Jesus the name above every other name. And so we just began in that moment to say, God, would you just show us what he's being afflicted by in this moment? We just began to declare the love of God over his life, because we know that we're not fighting for victory in that moment. We're fighting from victory, fighting out of the revelation of what has been accomplished through Jesus Christ. And one by one, as God began to reveal those things in that man, we began to see oppression actually lifted off his life. And when we brought him up out of the water, his face, it says, you know, Moses' face when he was with God actually was shining. Well, this man's face was shining with just joy and happiness and freedom, and he could physically do things in his body that he couldn't do before that moment. And I got in the car and I was driving home, and I told Hannah, I said, what a privilege, because I knew the power of Jesus' name. But today, I've gained a greater revelation, literally, of the significance of what can happen when we exercise that revelation in our everyday life. And yes, moments might not be that full on all the time, but still, the greatness of who God is in seemingly big and seemingly little significant moments, he's able to overcome all. He actually has overcome all. And that's for you and I to release that into that situation. I just, could you just close your eyes for a moment? I want you to picture something. It's helped me immensely. When I begin to pray for people now, often, the point in my life, when I used to pray for people, all these questions and doubt and what ifs began to go through my mind. And then as I began to get a greater revelation of the power of Jesus' name, he helped me to visualize something in that moment. And it wasn't just something that I was imagining. It was actually something that the Word of God reveals. And I began to just visualize in that moment as I was standing with that person, or if even I wasn't with that person, but they're somewhere else, I began to just imagine that Jesus Christ himself was standing right there with that person. And as I would put my hand on their shoulder or their head, or when I would lift my arm praying for that person, even if they geographically were not near me, I would begin to just visualize that person, and then right before them, or if I had put my hand on their shoulder, I would begin to visualize Jesus himself putting his hand on their shoulder. And what it helped me, and what I'm hoping it helps us and you as you're visualizing that today to see, is that when we pray for people, the power of healing doesn't come out of our inadequacies or our abilities, our achievements, or our success, and even really our intellect. It comes out of the power and the revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is. And so from this point forward, I want to encourage you, when you begin to pray for people, why not just ask them, hey, could you just close your eyes for a moment? Or just let them know, hey, I'm going to close my eyes for a moment before I pray for you. And then in that moment, just begin to visualize God himself, Jesus Christ, standing there with you, exercising his authority over whatever it is that you're praying for. Because the reality, friend, is God says that is what is to be. The reality is that he is there with you. He is there with that person. God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's omnipresent. He is everywhere, all at the same time. And Jesus says, behold, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Don't just declare the kingdom of God is here, but actually allow me to manifest it through your life. And I will be with you to the very end of the age. That wasn't just good intentions. That was meant to be a reality for us. And so, would you just allow this revelation to sink deep within your heart today? Know that God is with you. If you said yes to him as your Savior, and if you're committed to living with him as Lord of your life, pursuing him and his ways, not a self-centric life, but a God-centric life, if you're committed to being in his presence and being filled by him, filled with the Spirit of God, and being baptized by the Spirit of God, when you pray for people, you're simply exercising the authority that you've been given. Just visualize Jesus being there, because he is. And then as you begin to pray, knowing you're not praying hoping for victory. You're praying from a place of victory. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, overcoming all penalty of sin and death. Your inheritance as a child of God is to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. But until the miraculous becomes a part of our everyday life, we will not see the fullness of that in our life. Could you guys all just stand? You know what this can look like in our life practically? I'm just going to give you an example or two. This last week, there's a guy who came to our house, and he was meant to fix the blinds, and I was in the back room, prayer office room, and he began to just share with Hannah stuff that was going on with his kids and with his wife and his family, and he just began openly sharing. And Hannah later tells me it was one of those things where, like, I didn't ask him anything. He just started telling me everything. But in that moment, she knew God's doing something. And so she just asked the gentleman, she said, hey, my husband and I, we're Christians, and we believe in the power of God. Would you mind if I go get my husband and we pray for you? And he's like, that would be amazing. And so Hannah came and grabbed me. But the beautiful thing is, literally 3 seconds before she knocks on the door, I can show you my journal. I'm writing out and I'm praying. I'm saying, God, would you give me more opportunities to see your miracle working power come to be evidence to people who do not know you that you're a supernatural God? Hey, Don, Hannah tells me what I just told you. I'm like, amen. We go out there and start chatting to the guy, saying hello, talking to him. I said, hey, so what's going on with your family? And he begins to describe some of the stuff that's happening with his children and literally physical things that are happening to them, prayer being needed, healing being needed. And we just said, hey, can we pray for you? Do you believe in God? And he's like, I don't, but I think it's good other people do. And I said, well, I've experienced healing in my body, and I'm praying today God's going to reveal who he is to you. And so we just began to pray for him, and I had a prophetic image that I shared with him. And in that moment, because his kids weren't there, we don't quite know naturally what happened in that moment and understanding, but I firmly believe that as that man left and as he went home, there's going to be a point where the miracle working of God is going to be manifest, and God's going to, in that moment, draw him back to remembering that it wasn't because of a person in me or a fleshly person, but because of the power and the Spirit of God that was moving during that prayer, the authority in the name of Jesus, that he's going to come to the revelation that God loves him and that God is real, because miracles really are God going public. And another example for you, I really just feel to share this with you today, is maybe an example for you in stepping out and making it an everyday part of your life is maybe when someone shares something with you, why don't you do something that a majority of the rest of the world doesn't do? And maybe you're at a cafe and you see tape on the person's elbow, maybe at a table next to you, or maybe the person that's serving you that day. Why don't you just ask them, hey, I see tape on your elbow, what's going on? And as they share the story with you, quite often, the response that most people would be ready and hearing is, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that must really suck. It must be painful. Yeah, really sorry to hear that. What if, in that moment, we did say, really sorry to hear that. Can I pray for you? Because most of the world isn't expecting someone to respond that way. But I'm telling you, if you get a revelation of who God is, and if you're open and willing to allow him to use you in situations that seem so everyday, so mundane, and yet the opportunity right there, right then, you respond as the majority of the world doesn't respond, but as a Christian really is able to respond and just say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for healing for your elbow? Can I pray that you're, as you're telling me about that work situation that's going on right now, can I pray peace for you? Whatever it might be, and just take a step and actually then pray for the person. And if we are committed to praying and saying, God, would you give me an opportunity today to pray for somebody to encounter you, if we begin to pray that daily as a part of our devotion, I am telling you, those opportunities by God will come up. And if you're willing to take a step, knowing it's not just me and the flesh taking a step here, but it's the Spirit of God with me, I am telling you, you are going to go on the greatest journey of your life, experiencing the supernatural miracle working power of God. Because friends, that's the life he's called you to, not me and a handful of other people, not just the disciples in the New Testament. Every single disciple of Christ has been called and anointed and able to experience, come on, able to experience a supernatural working God in us and through us. And as a church, we're creating more room for people to have those encounters. But I want to challenge you individually, as a couple or as a family, Would you create those, like, would you create that space in your life for God to do that in your everyday? People aren't meant to just be prayed for and healed up here. They're actually meant to be prayed for and healed everywhere that you go.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.